Fox's Den is a podcast series dedicated to learning more about the culture, character, and spirit of what makes the Yorkville School District so unique. The series takes an in-depth approach to learning more about a person's why and their journey to Yorkville School District 115. Welcome to the Fox's Den. I'm your host, Brent Edwards, and on this episode, I talk with Dr. Tim Shimp, Superintendent for Yorkville School District 115. Listen as we discuss his career path to becoming the superintendent for the Yorkville School District, what he has learned about himself and the community while navigating through a pandemic, what he sees in the crystal ball when looking into the future, and how many degrees away he really is from Kevin Bacon. So, let me ask you this. Let me start off by asking you this. Are you familiar with the game 6 Degrees from Kevin Bacon?
I'm not.
You've never heard that?
No.
Okay, so there's a game called 6 Degrees from Kevin Bacon. And what that means is there are so many actors in the world that have touched Kevin Bacon somehow or another because he has been in so many movies and in so many television shows and what have you. So you can always like find your way back by 6 degrees per actor. So, because your son has been acting, you, Dr. Shemp, are 4 degrees away from Kevin Bacon. And here's how. This is what's crazy about it. Some people are like, I would never be able to be that close to Kevin Bacon. But now that I know you, I'm now 5 degrees away from knowing Kevin Bacon. So, we have you, Dr. Shemp, your son, Carter. He was on a table reader, a movie with Paul Giamatti. Paul Giamatti was in a movie called Ironclad with an actor called James Purefox. James Purefox was in a show called The Following, which starred Kevin Bacon. That's the degree. So it's Tim, Carter, Paul Giamatti, James, and Kevin Bacon.
Wow.
So you're like 4 degrees.
I'm quite in line with Kevin Bacon, man.
I think maybe within a year or two, you'll probably have Thanksgiving at his
excellent
at his house.
I look forward to that.
Because that's how close you are to him. So having said all that, your children have gone in many different ways and different directions, acting, athletics, education. How do they get that trifecta from you, acting, education, athletics?
You know, I think all four of them, we've been very deliberate, my wife and I, Sue, in supporting their passion, their interests, and they're all very much unique. And their directions have certainly changed over the years, and it's been exciting for us to watch and support each chapter of their lives. And now, as they go into adulthood, we remain close to them. But I'm not sure any of them get their abilities from me. Certainly I'm interested in all that they do, and whether it's acting, athletics, education, or anything else they have going in their lives, but I can't take credit for probably any of that.
Where are they all now? Where have they landed?
So I have an oldest one in Seattle who's doing some work with a company called Driveline, athletic facility, training facility, and doing some entrepreneur work with startup companies. I have a daughter who is teaching in the Chicagoland area, teaching fifth grade, and her finishing her first year. I have another son, Carter, who is working as an actor, living in Wrigleyville, enjoying the life of a 21-year-old and experiencing some success as an actor. And then my youngest son is at Kansas, University of Kansas, enjoying his first year as a freshman.
My good, and they just won the national championship.
They did. He was experienced.
Was he there at the?
He was. He was on the streets of Kansas, Lawrence, Kansas, enjoying the celebration.
Wow, what an experience! I mean, your freshman year and your team wins the whole thing.
Yeah,
that had been great.
Kyle, Bailey, Carter, and Ryan all went through our educational system here in Yorkville and doing well as adults.
Now, does your daughter ever reach out to you about education questions? And
you know, periodically, and my wife is also a teacher in a neighboring district, so we have a small group chat that we talk about things that are going on in her classroom and things that she's doing, but more of a sounding board and more celebratory of the good things that she's experiencing.
Thanksgiving dinner, maybe you guys get some you know, sheets of paper out and start correcting paper.
No, we try and stay away from that.
Were you ever on stage as a kid, or were you an athlete growing up? What kind of activities were you involved with?
I certainly was never on stage. I don't have a musical bone in my body other than I enjoy a good vinyl and listening to music and listen to Carter play music and be on the stage or be on the screen. But I played athletics as a young child, and then through high school I played baseball up until my senior year of high school. You know, I spent a lot of my time as a youth working. I started working when I was 13 at a golf course as a caddy. And then off during the winter months, always had a job. So a lot of my time from that then until college was doing work and being around people that I enjoyed at the golf course and that type of atmosphere.
You ever have any dreams of being on the tour with all this golf around you?
Yeah, it was just the one piece I wasn't good enough to, you know, for my ability and skill level as a golfer.
Was it the short game or the?
A little bit of everything. Okay. Yes, but I did have the opportunity back in when I was a freshman in college to be able to caddy in the U.S. Open for a good friend of mine who was a couple years older than I, who qualified for the U.S. Open in Hazeltine, Minnesota. So that was a good experience.
Any pro golfers there that are on the tour now?
They're probably on the senior tour now.
Oh, geez. Okay.
But certainly, and Phil Mickelson was there. We had the opportunity to be in a group with Bernard Langer and Tom Kite, you know, local Illinois
Kite. Yeah.
So then I caddied at the Western Open for a few years with Lauren Roberts and Joey Sinelar. So was able to be in three different PGA events and some good experiences growing up.
Wow, that's crazy. That's awesome. Now, staying as a young child there growing up, did you have educators in your family when you were growing up? How did you get into
surprisingly
education?
No. My dad was in the tire business, owned a few tire companies and a family business for a while. My mother was a stay-at-home mom for a number of years, and once we were in school, my three brothers and myself, she worked at a medical office for many years. So really never had, other than my own teachers and educators in my life, didn't have anyone in the family that went in that profession.
Where did your love of education and teaching come from then?
You know, it was just, I went to school at Illinois State, went there for a variety of programs, and my two of my older siblings attended Illinois State, and it was a, you know, close proximity to home. It was affordable for myself and my family, and as I went through the programming my first few years at Illinois State, I did some observations in classrooms, in some of the lab classrooms that they have there, and, you know, I decided it's a direction I wanted to go. I wanted to be around kids. I wanted to be able to make a broader difference like some educators in my life did, particularly at that point in time at the high school level. You know, I had my athletic background that I wanted also to be possibly get into coaching, which I eventually did after I graduated. So,
did you go into ISU wanting education, or were you like undecided?
I was undecided.
Undecided.
I actually looked at business. I looked at, you know, there was a point in my life where I wanted to work on the stock exchange. I think my years of youth as a caddy, I was around many individuals in the business world and the financial sector. So it was something that I considered, but still a love of mine, but education caught my heart.
Yeah. You mentioned when you were in school, your teachers that had influences on you. Any come to mind right now that you could like, oh, yeah, Mrs. So-and-so?
You know, I had in high school, I had Mrs. Mano. She was my high school guidance counselor. Just always had time for me, helped me find my path beyond high school. She really helped me through some of my harder days of growing up as an adolescent. So I think Eileen Mano really influenced my decision in that.
We'll leave your adolescence undermining to another podcast.
Yes.
So when you got out of ISU, where did you start teaching and what subjects did you start teaching?
So I began my career at Leiden High School. I was a special ed teacher for students with learning disabilities. So I co-taught English and, ironically, family consumer sciences. So I co-taught a foods class or two. And then I spent time supporting students with social and emotional needs.
Okay.
So I worked at Leiden for probably a good 7-8 years. I was a teacher there. a guidance counselor, and then a department chair for special education.
What was your favorite recipe? And
I don't recall.
No?
Probably wasn't very good, whatever it was.
Was it baking? Was it, I don't know.
No.
Nothing?
Nothing comes to mind.
But then special needs, that had to have been a nice little moment.
It was. It was in Leiden at that time. It's at times a very challenging district. There was some violence at times. There was, certainly some kids came to us with some unique challenges with their home lives. So to be able to give back and to support those students from a social emotional level as well as an academic standpoint was very rewarding and something I'll never forget.
How did you find your way to Yorkville? Was it a teacher, a principal? How did that work?
So I left Leiden, went to Hinsdale Central for another 8 or 9 years. I went there as a dean of students. So I spent 4 years as a dean there and then 4 years as an assistant superintendent for teaching and learning. Excuse me, assistant principal for teaching and learning. And then from there, I guess about 15 years ago, I became a principal at Yorkville High School. So this is finishing my 15th year as we sit here.
Yeah.
We lived in Yorkville at the time, so it was nice to, I guess, come back and or come to my community in which I was raising our children and residing.
So I like asking this question. If you were a student while you were teaching, would you be able to learn from you?
That's a good question. I guess short answer, I think so. As a teacher, and the population of students that I was working with, I very much had to tailor my instruction and my practices to the individual needs of those kids. I'm very patient. I was as a teacher. I think I still am now. So I think I tried very hard to understand what my kids' needs were, both as a learner but also as a person, what their interests, what their passion, what their dreams were. So I think I would be able to learn for myself.
Nice.
Absolutely.
What kind of things have changed in the 15 years that you've been here? Like, just right off the top of your head.
We've seen a significant amount of growth, certainly in our student population. I think when I think about when I was a high school principal, I think we had probably 850 students there, and we've surpassed 2,000 now. A number of employees were at 1,000 almost here in Yorkville. I think the expansion of our programs, the renovation to our schools and facilities, the exciting and more modern course offerings and clubs and activities, I think, has been a significant change. And I think even as we look at the amount of things our board has been supportive of with our proposals, with our new initiatives and innovative opportunities from, you think about grading practices, some of our online and blended courses that we offer, we just implemented an e-school or an e-sports program. Flexible schedules, comprehensive summer programs. So I think when I look back to where we were 15 years ago, where we are today, we've made a tremendous amount of progress.
Yeah, and I bet you've just seen the community grow as well, right? Just like buildings and
We're getting stores. Chipotle next year.
That's
later
right.
This summer, so
that's insane.
But yeah, I mean the amount of progress our community and city has made has been tremendous to support.
Yeah,
and that has also provided our kids those opportunities to do internships and field experiences with our local businesses and being impacted to share in the celebratory things that our schools are doing. Our businesses have been just huge supporters of that. So
yeah.
It's really been a fun opportunity to watch, and both as a parent and community member, mm-hmm. but also as an employee and educator of our district.
I remember when my wife and I first moved out here 20 plus years ago. Do you remember Safari Market? There was a tiny little safari market where you'd go and buy groceries and what have you. Jewel wasn't built yet, and she would go into Aurora for Jewel to get like the bigger stuff. But Safari Market,
over by the theater here, right?
Yeah,
where
the theaters. Yeah.
Yeah, there was a baseball card shop there as well.
Sporting
card shop that I think the first couple years we moved here was still in business.
And there was a dance studio over there and, mm-hmm. and that kind of thing.
It's amazing how things have
it's really grown.
Changed, but. In the same breath, I think what makes our community special is how much it stayed the same. When you think about the relationship aspect, the close-knit community feel that Yorkville has,
right.
and it did then, it's something special that I don't think anywhere else has, that I've experienced, is anything like it.
So through that time then, when you're there as a principal and seeing the community grow and the district grow, when did you know you wanted to move into administration? And like superintendent stuff.
You know, I think it was 4 or 5 years when I was at Leiden. You know, I had a couple administrators that I was able to observe and shadow through my master's program. I did an internship. And one of, you know, Dr. Kevin O'Meara was a dean at the time. He since then, he went on to Argo as a superintendent, and I still am close to him and stay connected as he's retired. And then Dr. Kathy Robbins, who was my superintendent there, she was the one that really gave me my first opportunity as I went into a department chair role. And she served as a great mentor and supporter of me, both at Leiden, but then as my career path moved on and as I was applying for other positions and ultimately then the superintendency. So it was early, I guess, at Leiden, but I had a lot of people that were supportive and helped me get to where I am today.
You mentioned your master's. Where do you finish your master's program at?
Northern Illinois, and then I did my doctorate at Aurora University.
Okay. Did I miss that? Did I miss that? Okay. Just making sure. Northern, the Husky. How'd you like it up there?
You know, it was weekends and, you know, Saturday afternoon, so I didn't spend a whole lot of time in the DeKalb area and you know, outside of the, you know, the classroom that I went to.
Sure,
so, yeah. Made a lot of good friends and colleagues and networking and a good experience.
So with all this education and your master's and your doctorate and your superintendent of this phenomenal school district, where do you go to get away from it all? How do you reset your mind?
It doesn't happen very often. You know, I think my role and responsibility seems to be something that's, you know, 24/7 in some respects. But when I do, most of my time away is spent with my family, either Sue, my wife, or our four kids, or my parents, in-laws, brothers, or, you know, Sue's side of the family. When I can, I do enjoy playing around a golf or two here and then. And, you know, since the pandemic, picked up a little bit of kayaking and trying to start hiking a little bit more. And
Do you kayak on the Fox River?
Where do you go? We have not done that yet, but we find lakes in the area.
Okay.
And we'll do the Fox this summer. You know, it's hard when you have to kayak and then figure out a way to get back to your car. So I'm still trying to navigate that. But
we're not going to see you go down the chute anytime soon and, like,
probably not.
Rotate around?
Not yet.
Okay.
But I do enjoy it. There's some, I guess, the chill factor of you know, quietness and being able to think and just enjoy the outside that brings some tranquility to the experience. And I told you earlier, you know, my interest in the stock market and the financial end of things. So I do read books and listen to podcasts in that area. You know, I think someday down the road I would like to look at a financial coaching and be able to give back in that area as well, and hopefully help those that are in a different position and to make decisions and plan for their future. And,
Wow. So with all your teaching and all the students, you must have had, thousands of students go through your doors and your rooms and what have you. Why does that one kid always stick with you?
It's a good question. You know, there's, I guess, a couple answers to that. One, when I was a young educator at Leiden, there was a 15-year-old student who I was close to, one of my, you know, at that time I had a class of about 12 in the special education group that I was working with, and one of them was killed in some gang violence. Mm. And I always think and wonder, you know, where the system or the adults in his life failed him at some point along the way, and what could have I done differently to prevent that, or, you know, to have a different outcome for him. So I think now, as I've moved through my administrative role and in my current role, it's, you know, finding the reason. If there's a reason I can say yes to our kids, or a reason I can say yes to parents, and support them in a different way, it's certainly a mindset that I carry with me. And then I think about my own four kids. You know, they remind me all the time about how different students truly are, that we can't have a one-size-fits-all educational system or school district. We must embrace, you know, and support the hopes and dreams and passions of all students, wherever that's going to take them, and how do we as a school system foster their passions and see the exciting possibilities of their future. So certainly there's a lot of kids who have impacted me and stay with me, but, you know, those always stick out, my own kids and the one at Leiden.
Seeing, with all that, emotion and seeing those kids and their eyes looking at you, and just the process of going from a teacher to a principal to a superintendent. What has been your biggest accomplishment through all those years, and what are you most proud of?
You know, I think there's a lot. I think, you know, as I've seen the successes of our staff here, and you walk into classrooms and buildings and you see how much our educators truly care about kids. I think about our board here that has provided a consistent and reliable structure of you know, maintaining fiscal responsibility, supporting innovative and new ideas. So for professionally, you know, I think there's a lot of things. We've seen our facilities grow and expand, and as I talked about earlier, the course offerings. But I think certainly the greatest accomplishment and what I'm very proud of is how we have weathered the last couple of years as both a school district and community. You know, such a challenging time for everybody. But I think on many, many levels, our district was a leader for our state, and I would argue across the nation. And I think we came together like nobody else, and nothing that I've seen or been a part of as an educator anywhere. So I think that's something professionally I'm most proud of. And personally, I just think, when I look at, again, my four kids, and I attribute much of their success to the school systems here and the great impact other educators and adults have had in their lives and families of and friends that we've had along the way. But how they've grown into very kind and caring and hardworking adults. You know, they all have different things going in their lives, but they've all created their own voice. They've created their own strong opinions on things, and they all remain connected as siblings and as, you know, as a close family. And I guess when you think about it, you want that for any kid as they leave here. We'd hope the best that they all could do the same thing. So a lot to be proud of.
Do you think that we're coming out of this the last couple of years as a district stronger, and your family coming out of it stronger and more?
I think so. I think in some respect there's some families have had the opportunity to spend more time together and maybe evaluate what's been most important in their lives. And certainly that's been true in our own family. And I think it's shown a level of resiliency as a community, as a school district, with our staff. In a level of commitment of, you know, that we have to continue to find new ways to reach kids, to be more flexible, to change the educational landscape that I think many times has been in our country and certainly in our area, you know, for decades. And I think if anything, the pandemic has shown us is that's it, that there's so much more to educating and you know, living life than just the time that we're behind the walls between 8 and 3, and how relationships and that human connection is so important. And we saw that through the pandemic, how our community, our staff, and our parents, and everyone really just rallied together, and the human side of who we are came out, and we took care of each other, and we made sure our kids were safe and healthy as much as we could, and how we, you know, those that needed food and those that needed losing, you know, businesses in our community. And it was just a great collective effort that I think changed so many people's lives, but also changed mindsets about where we have to go moving forward. And I think it will never be the same because of it.
So, you know, coming out of this pandemic the last couple of years and the struggles and the triumphs, looking into a crystal ball for School District 115. What does the future hold?
Yeah, I would say that looking in the future of District 115, there, I don't think there's ever been a more exciting time. I think education as a whole, but as I think about from a couple of different areas, whether it's facility work or programming, and I'll touch upon both of those, we really have some great things ahead for our community, for our students and our staff. You know, we continue to grow and change, as I talked about earlier, and we're becoming more diverse with more people moving our community, which is a tremendously exciting opportunity for us. You know, from a facility work, we have things on the horizon that includes turf fields for looking at our football and a Campbell Field, our stadium, our baseball and softball infield and looking to add a press box to our softball field. We are in the final stages of securing an early childhood center south of town, where we're going to be able to house all of our early childhood program, and the students, the families will have their own place, which is a neat opportunity that we've been looking forward to for a while. We're looking to soundproof our music rooms, our lesson rooms at the high school, and redo all of our elementary playgrounds and add more outdoor learning spaces at each of our schools. And then some of our middle school football field and track will be enhanced and renovated in the coming years, as well as just things that have to be done, like chillers and roof projects, things just to keep some of our buildings, working from year to year. From a programming standpoint, which is really exciting as well, there's a really strong possibility that we're going to be offering full-day kindergarten across District 115 schools beginning next fall.
Wow.
Which is something that our community has been asking for and asking questions about year after year, and that our board, it's been a vision of them, long before I arrived here. So to bring that reality to our community is something that's just really, truly exciting.
It's just got to be a lot of work behind the scenes with everything you just mentioned, just the minutiae of what's going on. It's got to be incredible.
Yeah, and that's when you think about the accomplishment and the pride that goes into what our district has done over the last 2 years, and a tribute to our teachers, our board, and our administrators, we really have continued to move things forward. We never stopped planning. We never stopped working towards our vision. And I think that's what has put us in place for the things that I've mentioned so far, to be able to continue on and not say, well, we took a 2.5 year pause and now we have to regroup. Now, certainly there are some things we have to do that we had to take a pause on that we're going to have to get back to. But by and large, we've had an opportunity to maintain the work with our three learning models last year and keeping things flowing with our strategic plan initiatives and the action plans around those, and full day kindergarten being one of them. We're also looking at reviewing our K-8 schedules and those learning experiences and opportunities that we provide kids during the day. How do we modernize and personalize experiences for kids so that we can have things like foreign language at the elementary level? We can incorporate STEM into our classrooms. We can look at coding and gaming and engineering at the K level that'll set kids up for experiences at college and career experiences at the high school level, and that really kids have more opportunities to explore, to investigate, to dream, to use their imaginations beginning when they walk into our school. So, from a programming standpoint, from a facility standpoint, we're really just in an exciting time in our district that's going to give opportunities for not only our kids and our staff, but our community. When you think about your youth programs used in our fields during the school year, in the summertime, to be able to play and have our band and music programs in our football field and the turf, it's incredible time to be in Yorkville.
The needle was never stagnant. The needle just kept moving.
Yeah, it really did. And that's, and our staff's tired, and you think back of why they're tired. Well, not only were we working through a challenging pandemic and trying to keep three learning models open and moving forward, but also, making sure that we're planning for the future along the way. And we're also in the early stages of having a comprehensive demographic study done, which will monitor our future growth and our projections moving forward, so that we know how to support the facilities, the schools, the capacity, how many kids we can fit in the classrooms, and we know where our renovations need to be, or down the road are we going to need future schools to be built when you think about a middle school north of town, or do we want another high school at some point in time as we get larger? Is 23, 24, 2,500 kids too big for a high school that our community wants? Or is that something that we need to look at and address? So that study I would anticipate will be finished by the summer, and then we'll be able to pick up some of the work with Evolution 115 and our master facility plan to plan for, what's next for Yorkville schools.
I mean, to say exciting times are here and are coming, that sounds like an understatement. I mean, there are some massive things that you just laid out.
Yeah, and it really, it touches everybody.
Yeah.
Our all grade levels, all students, regardless of the building that you're at, our community. Really, it's a win-win for everybody. Mm-hmm.
And the staff, and how do you feel like the staff is excited about it too? I mean, they're just overwhelmed. I mean, yeah, overjoyed rather than.
Yeah, they're excited about it. They, mm-hmm. you know, there's a lot of questions still. And, you know, as we plan for our full day kindergarten as an example, you know, we have a committee of staff, our kindergarten staff, our administrators are working hard already in anticipation of what could be. But again, that takes work. It takes, you know, we have a short window in the next 4 to 5 months to get that up and running. But they also know that the great opportunities it's going to provide for our kids and our families is something that they've wanted for many, many years. And our community's wanted for many, many years. And like anything with our staff, they're the first ones to step up and for something that's right and that's good for kids. They're gonna work hard to get it done.
Wow, amazing stuff! Exciting! I can't wait to see what's coming up, man, around that corner. So one last question on our way out here. I'm gonna start asking this one. This will be the ending question of all the podcasts.
Okay.
All right. So you're on a road trip. You're sitting as the passenger in the seat of the car. You look over to the driver's side, and it's you when you're 17 years old driving. What advice do you give yourself?
Well, since I wasn't the most cautious driver at 17, there was a time where one evening I remember about that age, I received 2 tickets in one night because I was trying to get home and not break my curfew. So I would look at myself and say, please slow down.
Okay.
After that, I would probably tell myself to make sure you pursue and follow your passion and your dreams. I would tell myself not to ever let anyone tell you can't do anything, that if you work hard and put yourself in the position and treat people well, that you can really do anything that you put your mind to and that you want to do, wherever those passions lie and those dreams lie. And then thirdly, I would say, make sure to find time to spend with those who bring you enjoyment and that make you a better person. Surround yourself by people that challenge you, that pick you up, and that compliment who you are and who you want to be. And never lose sight of that.
Well, Dr. Shimp, just a few degrees away from Kevin Bacon, dreamer, innovator, this has been a pleasure. Thank you so much for taking a few minutes of your time and talking with us. Thank you so much.
I appreciate it. Thank you for having me on.